is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
It's a hump day edition of the Cliffo and Bronte podcast with a bit of live in the car park action.
Yes.
On the pod today.
A French challenge, the Le Snack challenge we took into our work car park. We do some weird things out there.
We do. I got to be honest, it wasn't until you pointed out to me, like, because I was always like, Le Snack, Le Snack.
Yeah.
But I've never actually made the French connection. Like, they're trying to be fancy when, in fact, we're talking about the most processed cheese and cracker biscuits on the market.
I love putting le in front of things at the best of times.
Yeah.
Like when I say I'm le tired.
Yeah.
Because it just makes being tired a little exotic.
Well, you're the equivalent of processed cheese around here, so throw a le in front of it.
What, delicious?
Sure. Kyle Felt and Reese Robson get a bit raw with us talking about nicknames.
Opening up about some embarrassing nicknames that they've had to deal with.
Plus a little WTF Wednesday action coming up, and Can You Beat Bronte Champions League continues only on the Cliff Arm Bronte podcast. The Le Cliffo.
This is Clickbait Cliffo on Hit.
A bit of a follow-on from a clickbait from yesterday. Brought you the story of the Aussie bloke who beat a driving while talking on your mobile phone charge by proving to the court that he was eating a Le Snack.
A Le Snack adjacent home brand version.
Yeah, a Dippets, the Audi version apparently. But the magistrate was like, well, it's illegal to remove both hands from the wheel to eat something, so you have to prove to the court you can open a Le Snack packet one-handed, which he did. He was victorious.
Court. Our legal fees were paid, like, some kind of tax probably paid for that to happen.
I love, like, why didn't they televise? Like, that would rate.
That would do.
On television.
The
I
amount
would
of people
that.
Talking about it in the office yesterday and, like, whether or not they think they could do it or, like, whether or not it's even legal to drive while eating.
Yeah.
Some people had questions about that, but it is.
It is.
Oh,
the
wow.
Court, well, I mean, this happened in New South Wales, different state.
Anything
state.
Goes down there.
This guy successfully proved to the court he could open a Le Snack one-handed. And you and I thought, that means one thing, mate. We can do something with that.
Hard-hitting
journalism. Snack race. So after the show yesterday, I popped over to IGA. I bought a six-pack of Le Snacks.
Actual Le Snacks, we should say, not dip.
They didn't have any. Yeah, we don't have. I didn't have any.
We don't need it.
My foot doorstep, so straight over to IGA. And you went first. You sat in my car in the driver's seat. You can see this on our Insta at Cliffo and Bronte. One hand on the wheel to see if you can open a Le Snack packet and how long it would take you.
Yes. Okay. So, one hand on the wheel. I'm guessing you kept one hand on the wheel the whole time. So I'm
brand new box.
Brand new box of Le Snack.
Righto.
Already.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
The Le Snack slipping and sliding already. All right.
Okay.
On your marks.
Yeah.
Get set. Go. She's lifted the packet up.
Oh, God.
She's resting it on her left leg, using her left hand to try and open it. She's exposed the biscuits. We need to see the cheese exposed.
Cheese is tough. The cheese is tough.
Exposed the
one
cheese.
One-handed.
She's done it. She's dropped a biscuit, but the cheese is exposed. 18.83 seconds.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Just under 19 seconds.
Not great. I think maybe using my left hand was a bit of a mistake.
Well, for a right-handed woman,
yeah,
I don't know where.
But that's my dominant hand. I thought I should keep that on the wheel.
Maybe I had an advantage because I saw what you did going lefty, and
that's
I'm right-handed as well.
Yeah.
So I changed up my tactic just a little when it was my turn.
And starting in 3, 2, 1, begin. So you've gone right-handed with the left hand on the wheel. A controversial. Oh, okay.
Here's
right.
The cheese. Wow, look at this.
Oh, he's taking his hand off the wheel.
Yeah.
Oh!
But the cheese was already exposed.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a controversial call, but we'll say 8 seconds.
8 seconds?
Why did I take 18 seconds?
Look, mate.
You got more experience.
You don't end up looking like me by not knowing how to work a snack or two.
So I guess, look, we're all winners. We proved it could be done.
Yeah. And we got a Le Snack. Thank you for that, by the way.
Double.
I did.
That was a double win.
I did leave that biscuit in your car. I didn't pick that up, though, the one I dropped, so.
I've got a 4-year-old in my life and I've got a Bronte Langbrook in my life. Much of a muchness.
Swifties, welcome aboard. This is your captain speaking.
It's me,
Hits. Swifty and 50.
Everybody agrees.
Did everyone just have a little heart attack like 5 minutes ago when we played two Tay Tay songs back to back?
And then we were like, bye.
We were like, we're going to ads now. I'll tell you what, every one of those clients should pay double for those
literally
ads.
Sponsor us. Give us more money.
Gremlins in the system, but we have to do it. It is the last day for Swifty and 50. This is the last day to get into the draw.
So these are the last people that we will speak to that could possibly be winning tickets to see Taylor Swift in LA on the Eras Tour.
I mean, I haven't checked the end of the show. It could happen at any time.
True.
Like later on in our show. It could happen after 9, 10. You don't know. But if you hear those two Tay Tay hits back to back, 13, 10, 60 to get on standby for the trip to LA and the 50K cash.
Let's do it.
Okay. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
We'll put 30 seconds on the clock. As many names and voices on air as we can in 30 seconds to get on standby. Here we go.
Taylor speaking.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Sharon. Morning, Jaden. Hello.
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 Jaden, hello. Hi, Casey. You want to be on standby?
Sure do.
Good job. What about you, Hayley? Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello.
Beautiful. Tiffany, go wild for Tay Tay.
Yay, Tay Tay.
Oh, you got it. What about you, Rhiannon? Can you scream for Tay Tay?
Yes.
We'll do it. Don't worry about it. Is this
Ailish?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh,
hi.
We got you. Just in the nick of time, my
you
friends.
You sounded just as nervous as us.
Yes, I am. Sliding on the last you, day too.
You are. You're the last one.
You are legitimately one of the last names that's going to go on standby for $50,000 cash and a trip for to LA. Like, life-changing stuff.
That sounds amazing.
What's your favourite Taylor Swift song at the moment?
Probably a bit of Bad Blood at the moment.
Me too. It's a good good walking song, especially the Kendrick Lamar version.
It's a bit of a comeback, that song. Like, it's years old, but
we're all feeling a bit spiteful, and I like it's fun.
Hey, hold there. We're going to get some details and put you on standby, okay?
Thank you so much.
Can you beat Bronte? Champions League, only on Hit.
All right. It is do or die on Bronte's, can you beat Bronte's Champions League?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit thrown.
That's all right.
I'm a little bit thrown because we have David here.
We do.
And I'm so wrapped with his new chaser name that we did a little hunt for yesterday. Morning, David. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going well.
So this time yesterday, we were discussing that Dave the Tiger just didn't really suit you and exactly what we wanted out of this game. God, I can't speak either.
No, I'm but just it's so nervous. A fair call, David. You weren't on board with David the Tiger, really, were you?
Yeah, nah.
It's better out there.
Yeah.
So we put it out there. We got everyone to do a bit of a brainstorm.
Great suggestions, everyone.
We put them up on Insta and let the public vote. And we're proud to announce that your nickname for this game, David, is Davey Chips and Gravy.
Oh, Davey Chips and Gravy. My new nickname. I love it.
You do like it.
I'm a big chips and gravy man.
Who isn't? You're so likeable and so are chips and gravy. And it's the perfect fit.
It's the perfect pairing. So we've got the Brontosaurus versus Davey Chips and Gravy. And because this is best of five for $500 at the end of the week, you got to win today. It is do or die, Davey Chips and Gravy.
Yeah, I live for the pressure.
No, oh, good. All right. Yeah. Big talk.
Brontosaurus. Into the soundproof booth you go. And Davey, for you, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. Mate, are you good to go?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Let's do it. Your time starts now. What is 8 times 7?
56.
What social media platform's logo is a bird?
Twitter.
What year was the first iPhone released?
2007.
What is the largest US state by land?
Ooh, Texas.
What decade does Netflix's series Stranger Things take place in?
1988.
Okay, yep. Needed a decade there, but that was specific and
decade, sorry.
No, that's fine. I think that's still okay. We'll go to producer Alicia for the answers after anyway. But for now we will get Bronte out of the soundproof booth. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock for her as well.
Was not soundproof today. Gotta give it to producer Alicia. I walked in there, Eye of the Tiger blaring, because this time yesterday I was saying
she complained about the silence in there.
Oh my god. It's rattled me a little. I don't know if it's in a good way or bad way.
Alicia, it's taken like nearly 12 months, but your producing game has just stepped up
really well.
Like unbelievably.
Okay.
Davey, chips and gravy, confident in the background there.
Yeah, I just heard that.
We'll see how we go. 30 seconds on the clock. Might be putting you off. Langers, your time starts now. What is 8 times 7?
56.
What social media platform's logo is a bird?
Twitter.
What year was the iPhone first released?
2006.
What is the largest US state by land?
Alaska.
What decade does Netflix's series Stranger Things take place in?
1983.
Okay. You've done what Davey Chips and Gravy did. You just needed a decade.
Yeah.
But you went specific for a year.
Oh, that's all right.
Leash, how did we go?
So question one, what is 8 times 7 is 56. Both of you got that one correct. Twitter has a logo of a bird. Both of you got that one correct. We'll come back to 3 and 4. Netflix series Stranger Things takes place in the 80s. Both of you said a specific year in the 80s, but I'll give it to you. So what year was the first iPhone released? Davey Chips and Gravy said 2007. Brontosaurus says 2006. It is 2007.
No!
Went to Davey.
Whoa!
And what is the largest US state by land? Davey said Texas. Bronte said Alaska. The correct answer is Alaska, which means you both got 4.
So we're locked at 4 points apiece, which means it is down to the decider. Davey Chips and Gravy, if I can offer you any advice, it's buzz in early. You think you know
How do I buzz in Davey Chips and Gravy?
Just say Dave. Dave. Just say Dave. All right, are you ready to go for the bonus question?
Yeah.
This is do I'm or ready. Die for you, Dave.
Yeah.
All right, bonus question. An angler is another name for what?
Dave. A fisherman.
That is correct.
No, it's not.
Yes!
An angler, A-N-G-L-E-R, is another name for a fisherman. Did you give that to him?
Why would I know that an angler is a fisherman?
Okay. I'm actually an avid fisherman.
Oh,
yeah, Davey.
You know what, Bronte? Maybe you should, Brontosaurus. Yeah. Maybe you should look up a thesaurus for the word. So that means fisherman.
Oh, that is, Davey. That's a big.
At least if we can get a
big call for someone who's still one down.
If we can just get any big book in here that Bronte can throw at Davey, that'd be great. Davey, you are back tomorrow.
Oh.
Woo!
There's not a you-know-what in it.
Game.
Oh. But still, it's best of three, so it's winner, like a must-win game for you tomorrow,
still,
Davey, to be in it. So
Davey.
A potential $500 on the line for you at the end of the week, mate.
I live for it.
You've said it once, you'll say it again.
And chips and gravy.
Yeah, mate.
Yep.
I'm going to give it to the nickname.
Yeah.
I think
well
the nickname's done it. Anyway, it's the Brontosaurus versus Davey Chips and Gravy. Again, a must-win for Davey. Tomorrow morning, just after 7.
I blame the soundproof booth.
This is getting nervous.
This is on
we
you.
We blame Eye of the Tiger Leash.
This next segment may contain material that could be upsetting or triggering and may not be for little ears.
This is WTF.
Wednesday.
For your WTF Wednesday today.
Yes.
I want to bring you the story of the Chicago Tylenol murders.
Ooh.
You heard anything about this before?
I
are you familiar with this story?
Have not. Only from what you've teased throughout the show.
So it happened back in 1982, and the Chicago Tylenol murders are the reason that paracetamol is now completely tamper-proof. So you'd know now if you buy any paracetamol, you'd know it's been opened from the box.
Yes, yeah.
And then you've got to actually push it out of the little plastic.
Yes.
And that now. Back in 1982, when the Chicago Tylenol murders took place, paracetamol was just in a jar. That just opened.
I see.
Like, they didn't even have the little teeth or anything. They might put a cotton bud in the top, but that was it.
Right.
And it led to the deaths of 7 youngish people within 1 week. Now, it was pretty tragic because all in the city of Chicago. So the city was completely when 7 people in one city just dropped dead.
Yeah.
For no reason, all under the age of 40, something's wrong.
All in the space of a week. So the first one
just
happened.
That's 6 days it was.
6 days, 7 people passed away. And the only thing they knew was that they had taken a Tylenol.
Well, firstly, they didn't know that because you have to kind of, some of them took it without it. You know, without telling anyone or whatever. So they had to work that out.
I see.
But eventually, like, they got there. The only thing that tied them together when they dropped dead, Bronte, was the coroner being able to smell burnt almonds.
You said this yesterday, and I've still been trying to figure out, A, what burnt almonds smell like, and B, how someone's able to pick that so specifically.
And the sucky thing is that, like, you have to have a specific gene to be able to smell this particular smell. But it's described as smelling like burnt almonds. And it is the effect on the human body. It's what happens after a human has been killed by cyanide poisoning. The body emits an odor of burnt almonds, right? So they were able to backtrack that, you know, all these people did die of cyanide poisoning and that the cyanide was found in the capsules of Tylenol.
Oh, my God.
And that's like Panadol in America.
Yes,
Tylenol is the number one brand of paracetamol in the States. So someone had deliberately opened up the little capsules of paracetamol, tipped that powder out, and put in cyanide powder.
Who did that, sicko?
Dunno.
What?
Johnson & Johnson was the company, or it still is the company, that owns Tylenol.
Yeah.
Incredible response from them. They pulled all Tylenol from right across America. 300 million boxes or little jars or whatever of Tylenol was pulled pretty much overnight at a cost of over $400 million to the company. And that is the interesting thing, Bronte.
No
one has ever come forward, and authorities have never been able to, not only have they never been able to lay charges, they've never had a single suspect in custody. It's a completely random crime that completely rocked the city of Chicago back in 1982.
And did people that had Tylenol already, like, in their cupboards or whatever, they were encouraged to throw those out, or was there a specific batch?
All Tylenol America-wide. Returned, refund. Like I say, cost Johnson & Johnson $400 million. Actually, the company went from strength to strength. Within 12 months, sales were better than before because of their incredible response. Yeah. They just said, all right, this is going to cost us 400 mil, but they got all of the paracetamol back. They then made all of their products completely tamper-proof, so it's never been sort of repeated.
My God.
But there you go. That's the Chicago Tylenol murders.
I'm allergic to paracetamol, so even just the regular thing itself would have done damage to me. Just hold the cyanide.
The Bronte Langbrook paracetamol murders. For podcasting, Cliffo and Bronte, you get a free clue. Yes, you do.
You look great today, by the way.
Thank you.
No, I'm not. I'm still talking to you.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Sorry. I thought we were back to me.
No, it's not about you. It's about you.
It's about you listening in podcast land.
Oh, fine.
The clue, Bronte.
The clue. Okay, don't be scared when I tell you what the clue is because you'll think it's a scary letter. Use the mentality that I've used before. Venice is the clue.
Venice.
So you think V might be scary, but there's only so many words that start with V.
That's right. You're fishing in a less populated pool. No,
in a V pond.
In a more populated pool.
Don't say V pond.
You're fishing in the V pond. God, I've been there before. Venice, your free clue for tomorrow's Alpha Bucks on Hit. You not the only loser in the headlines at the moment. After a 19-year-old Aussie woman has gone viral on TikTok for a tattoo fail in Bali.
Yes. This is Tia Kabir, I believe her name is.
Sure. 19-year-old Aussie woman. That's where I was going to leave it.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to Bali to get a tattoo, there's got to be an element of doubt in your mind.
Risk.
Like,
totally.
Oh, man.
I got one done here in Australia for the first time a couple of months ago and still, like, questioned the whole thing the whole time, was making sure it was what I wanted. And
I feel like I've seen too many infected tattoos on the Bali Bogans Facebook page, you know. So there's always that element of risk. It's like getting a boob job in Thailand.
Yeah.
You're rolling the dice, right? But this woman, Tia Maria, I think. What have you said?
Tia Kabir?
Yeah, that. It didn't go to plan. She wanted to get a tattoo on her arm, just two little words. She just wanted angel energy.
Oh,
that's
angel
all she wanted.
Energy.
But it's not what she got.
I came to Bali to get a tattoo, right? And I've been dreaming to get this tattoo because I just don't get tattoos all the time. I get one, like, every few months. And it's supposed to say angel energy. And now it just says energy angel.
So through the fake tears, you might have heard her say she wanted it to say angel energy.
Yeah.
And instead it says energy angel.
Look, to paint the picture too, this is your classic 19-year-old Aussie Bali tourist.
Yeah.
Like, got the fake nails, the vape in hand.
I did see the vape.
just it's Bali as.
Yes.
And that's her problem. She wanted angel energy. Instead, she's got energy angel.
Which is still a nice message.
A lot of people pulling up the fact there too that she's like, I don't get tattoos all the time, just every couple of months.
Yeah, what? Like, I would think that would mean one every, like, couple of years, but she's tatted up. And so she knows the process. She's blaming it on the tattoo artist.
Because people are saying, well, what about the stencil? Like, it's stenciled up and then she's arguing that it was changed or...
And her arm was so small that she couldn't read it or something, but it's just ridiculous. She, like I said, when I got mine done, I looked and checked, like, at least five times before Brianna started actually tattooing it.
Look, despite what you think of our little 19-year-old friend Tia Maria, it's a tat fail.
It is a tat fail.
And, you know... I mean, not so much now because tat removal is kind of a thing, but there was once upon a time when tattoo fails were for life.
Permanent, yeah. They still, I mean, they're still, it's very painful to get tattoos removed and it's a very costly process. I don't know.
I mean, look, it's one of those things that you want it right.
Yes.
The first time. Unlike a mate of mine, I'm not going to name him, but he had a, long story short, he got on his foot a tattoo of an Australian flag and he wanted born and bred underneath it, B-R-E-D. But instead they spelt it B-R-E-A-D.
Which?
So.
That's a fail?
So now it's born and bred, as in loaf of bread, not conceived in this nation down under. So he's essentially born and loaf of bread.
That's great. I'm just as patriotic about bread as I am about being Australian.
Instead of a removal, can we change the flag to a loaf of bread? 13 10 60. I think you know where this is going.
Of course.
Give us your tattoo fails.
Tattoo fails. Maybe it's wrong words, in the wrong order. Maybe you got it like a Chinese script or something translated to something wrong. I've seen people get them done. They think their footy team or something is going to win the premiership.
Yeah.
And they don't end up winning.
I mean, you're asking for trouble there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a risky little game.
Spelling mistakes.
Yes.
All right, if you're going to get any kind of other country, like if you're going to get Mandarin tattooed on you, again, you're just running the gamut there.
Just make sure it's right.
Google Translate.
Don't use Google Translate.
Not the best. 13 10 60. Paul is here. What's your tattoo fail story, mate?
Well, she had a lovely single rose on her belly, but she was pregnant with twins. And after 9 months or 8 and a half, I was in hospital with her and we were delivering at the same time. And that beautiful single rose turned into the biggest cottage garden you've ever seen across her belly.
Oh, no.
And she said to me, be careful where you put that tattoo.
Yeah.
So true.
Like a photocopy gone wrong.
Oh, no.
Ollie's here. What's your tattoo fail, Ollie?
So I was 18 and wanted to look cool. Got the upper arm tattoo and stencil looked all good. I wanted a scorpion. Mm. And I was warned that the tattooist was getting on and going a little bit blind, but it was a good price. So anyway, once the stencil was on, it was good. And once the tattoo was done, the claws were so big, it actually looked like a crab.
Oh, no. Like Ollie really likes the Little Mermaid.
I was going to say.
And Sebastian.
That's the best kind of crab it could be.
I don't know if, yeah. Like the tattoos is going blind, but he's cheap.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that's your benchmark, Ollie. Chloe, real quickly, because we're going to run out of time. What's your tattoo fail?
So my son's my son's birthday is in Roman numerals. It's wrong and around the wrong way.
Chloe.
You know what? Yeah. Easier to change the birth certificate than to change the tattoo.
I had a really embarrassing moment yesterday that I want to tell you about.
Okay.
So this week is my week of, like, maintenance appointments. I'm going to the races on Saturday.
Needed.
No. You could take some notes. eyebrows, eyelashes, nails.
Yeah.
And yesterday was laser hair removal, which I've been getting for probably a year and a bit. At the point now, if you haven't had it, like, in the beginning you get it quite frequently, like maybe every 4 to 6 weeks, and then once it really takes effect and it works pretty quickly, it can vary, like 8 to 12 weeks is usually like probably the most you would leave between appointments, which was me. And so depending on where you're getting laser hair removal.
Yeah, that's where my mind is at the moment.
You have like to. What? I won't tell you where. Just know that you have to have that area out in the open for the very qualified, professional, respectable technicians to do
so
their
everyone
thing.
Everyone just picture Bronte's body.
No, don't.
And then like, pick a spot.
Just anyway, I was on this bench, not a bench, a bed, waiting for the therapist to come in to start doing the treatment. And it's such an awkward moment because you're just lying there and like you're in a stale room. It's kind of like a doctor's office and you're just waiting for the person to come in and you feel very exposed because you literally are. And so then my lady comes in and she can't get the bed up. She can't, like, I'm lying to lie down on it. It's kind of low.
Never and then a good sign, is it? In the bed. Well, shouldn't have had that second donut. Bed's like, not going up today.
It's not going up. And I was like, oh, okay. You're lying there just half naked, being like, okay. She's like, hold on, you know, keep trying.
Oh,
keep
God, it's broken. You're half naked. Like, how exposed?
It's so, like, exposed. And then she's like, I'm going to get someone to come in.
Oh.
And I was like, I was like, do you want me to, we can just go to another room. She's like, no, it's fine. So another lady comes in. Again, so professional. It's fine. But anyone who's gotten it knows how that feels. Second woman can't get the bed up. By that point, I'm like sitting up. I'm like, okay, let's go to the treatment room, shall we, gals? And then another woman comes in and tries to get the bed up. And I'm, by this point, almost crying.
This is the bit where, like, if it was our job, like what we do, we just go to commercial break. That's what they needed to go to commercial break.
I wish you were there.
And get it sorted and then come back.
I say I wish you were there. Probably best you weren't there.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.